After his landslide win in the presidential election in Russia, what many say was a foregone conclusion, Vladimir Putin has raised the specter of World War III as ties between Russia and the West plummet to the deepest crisis since the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis. Putin has repeatedly warned that the use of nuclear weapons is not off the table if Russia is threatened. These comments come at a time when the French president recently said that he couldn't rule out the deployment of French soldiers in Ukraine.
करीब 88% वोटों के साथ राष्ट्रपति पुतिन को मिली जीत के जरिए क्रेमलिन दुनिया को और खासतौर पर पश्चिमी देशों को यह जताने की कोशिश में है कि तकरीबन पूरा रूस जो है वो मजबूती के साथ राष्ट्रपति पुतिन के पीछे खड़ा है और इसके जरिए पुतिन जो है वो अपनी ताकत का एहसास भी दुनिया के देशों को कराना चाहते हैं। हालांकि अमेरिका, यूके, पोलैंड और जर्मनी जैसे जो देश हैं उन्होंने लगातार सवाल उठाए हैं। जिस तरीके से वोटिंग हुई है, जिस तरीके से चुनाव हुए हैं, उनका ये कहना है कि ये न तो फ्री है न फेयर है और कई तरह के सेंसरशिप के बीच जो है वे चुनाव कराए गए हैं। पहली बार नवाल्नी का नाम लिया राष्ट्रपति पुतिन ने अपनी विक्ट्री स्पीच के दौरान और ये कहा कि स्वाप की डील जो है उन्होंने तय कर रखी थी, लेकिन इस बीच जो है नवाल्नी की जो मौत है वो हो गई। एक और अहम बात है कि उन्होंने चेतावनी दी है कि नेटो ने अगर रूस के आसपास अपनी गतिविधियों को बंद नहीं किया तो तीसरा विश्व युद्ध जो है वो हो सकता है। तो एक और छठे टर्म के लिए चुने जाने के बाद पुतिन ने अपनी जो मंशा है और अपनी जो ताकत है उसको दिखाने की कोशिश की है और जब मई में वो शपथ ग्रहण लेंगे, उनका अगला कार्यकाल जब शुरू होगा और 30 तक जब वो अपना कार्यकाल पूरा करेंगे तो उसके बाद वो स्टालिन के उस रिकॉर्ड को तोड़ देंगे और रूस के इतिहास में सबसे लंबे समय तक शासन करने वाले एक शासक के तौर पे अपना नाम जो है वो दर्ज करा लेंगे।
The outcome was never in doubt. After 3 days of voting, Russian President Vladimir Putin has secured another term after winning a whopping 87% of the vote, according to Russia's Central Election Commission. All set to extend his nearly quarter-century rule for another 6 years, Putin stands to overtake Stalin as the longest-serving leader for more than 200 years. Immediately after the victory, Putin warned the West that a direct conflict between Russia and the US-led NATO would mean World War III was just a step away.
Я думаю, что все возможно в современном мире, но я уже говорил, и это понятно для всех, что это будет в одном шаге от полномасштабной Третьей мировой войны. Думаю, что в этом вряд ли кто-нибудь заинтересован.
The Russian leader did not face any credible competition, as there were only 3 token rivals. While the Communist Party candidate Nikolai Kharitonov collected a little more than 4% of the vote, other candidates garnered even less. Kharitonov even praised Putin ahead of the election. Putin's fiercest political foe, Alexei Navalny, died in an Arctic prison last month. Other critics are either in jail or in exile.
After the result, President Putin thanked voters and told them that he would prioritize resolving tasks associated with Russia's special military operation, in his words.
The US and its allies condemned the Russian election, while the US said the vote was obviously not free nor fair. Ukraine's President Zelensky said Putin was sick with power and is doing everything to rule forever. With Uma Shankar Singh in Moscow, Vishal Vivek for NDTV.
Well, frightening remarks over there by the Russian president warning of World War III. Joining us now, Fred Ware, Russian affairs expert, Glenn Carl, former deputy national intelligence officer for transnational threats in the CIA. He's been a career officer there. Oleksiy Goncharenko, president of the PACE Committee on Migration, Refugees and Displaced People, and a Ukrainian MP also with us, and Ambassador Dilip Sinha. Glenn Carl, let me come to you first. It's not the first time that we've heard Vladimir Putin make threats about the use of nuclear weapons, but now he's ratcheted it up a little bit further, and he's talking about World War III. Are these only words, or is there a sense that what he could be saying has an element of credibility?
Well, both statements are true. It's really not a change at all in either the current situation, the status of the war in Ukraine, tensions with NATO or the United States, or in Russian doctrine. It's a restatement of what has always been the case. And there's always been fear since the invention of nuclear weapons of a nuclear war that would be the worst catastrophe in human history. So I'm less alarmed. I'm not particularly alarmed by Putin sort of shaking this chess piece as a reminder in response to, in particular, Emmanuel, President Macron, France's comments, and as a warning. But this has always been the case. Only a fool is not conscious that a clash between Russia and NATO, meaning the United States, would risk nuclear war, but neither side would seek to do it, and I see no particular change. It's a useful statement from his perspective to make, and has real substance in the sense that the supposed election doesn't, and we've done a disservice to all of ourselves by even spending time talking about what really is just the coronation of a dictator. But the nuclear statements don't particularly alarm me. No change.
Oleksiy Goncharenko, the question which we've been asking, the whole world has been asking, is how does this conflict actually end? More than 2 years into this conflict, does Ukraine have any clear answers? The situation is so much more difficult for Ukraine over the last couple of months. A lot of ammunition, weapons which you're seeking from the West have not come in. The loss of life is huge on both sides. What is the way to end this?
There is a very hello, first of all, and there is a very clear path to end this. Russia just needs to go out from Ukraine, restore international order, international law, and that's all. That's a very easy way to end everything. Ukraine never started anything. It was Russia which attacked us, absolutely unjustified, and they can easily stop it. If Russia will not do this, and if Russia will continue this war will continue, and for how long I can't tell you. Yes, you are saying about problems with our supply of weaponry. Yesterday we have problem with a package from United States of America. But even without this, we have enough support from our allies, other allies, both from European countries and not only. And with all Russian military might, their gains are very, very small. For example, the only their gain during last half year is a town with a population 30,000 people. On Indian measures, I think it's not even a village. That's all that gain they have. But at the same time, they lost significant part of their Black Sea fleet in the Black Sea, and with a huge, huge number of people which are killed in action during their attacks. So we can't say that this war goes the way Russia wanted it to go. I just want to remind you, 2 years ago, Putin was claiming that they would take Kiev in several days or yes. maybe weeks.
Yes.
Now it's more than 2 years, and they didn't take any one regional center, even regional center in Ukraine. No one really big city is taken by Russia. But yes, it is a very painful war, and unfortunately it continues because Putin is a crazy tyrant who thinks that he can do whatever he wants.
Fred Weir, is there a sense in that do people that you speak to in Russia seriously believe that Putin can indefinitely sustain this conflict? Because the extent of the losses that the Russian armed forces have taken, both in terms of soldiers and in terms of machinery, if there is Western aid, more of it that comes in, and that almost seems inevitable. It's a question of when. How much longer can he actually sustain this himself?
I think the sense in Moscow is that they're just getting started. The Russian war economy is only now, in past year, ramped up to a war footing by even what open sources we can see that industry, the former Soviet military industrial complex, is reviving. That's not good news for anybody, and especially for Russia. But as far as the war is concerned, Russia's ability to obtain materiel is increasing. they are getting a lot of perhaps things like artillery shells from North Korea, drones from Iran. But basically, Russian industry was greatly underestimated from the beginning of this war. And their means, their ability to pay for it, it's not Soviet methods, you know, it's not central planning and command, it's military Keynesianism. They're spending, they're giving state orders to private industry to produce dual purpose and military goods. And it's working. I think that's by all accounts. I read the Russian media. Yes, I do. But I also read the New York Times and the Washington Post. And I think that the general consensus is that for better or for worse, the Russians are gaining the initiative on the battlefield. Yes, they're suffering terrible losses, but I think the Ukrainian side is as well. And Russia has a much deeper pockets and much deeper reserves of manpower than Ukraine does. Short of NATO intervention, I'm afraid that the war will end in Russia's favor.
Yep. Ambassador Sinha, the fact of the matter is Putin's biggest concern is an expansion of NATO. The entry of Ukraine potentially into NATO, other states over there into NATO, that doesn't seem to be a realistic sort of situation immediately. There is nothing imperative about an expansion of NATO presently. Assuming what I'm saying is correct, what is this war really about as far as Putin is concerned?
Well, Putin's war aims have not been clearly spelled out. He started the war 2 years ago by trying to capture Kyiv, in which he failed. Thereafter, he concentrated on the eastern part and took over the Donbas region, and then has been trying to make as much progress as he can. He's made some progress in the last 2 months, but otherwise the war is currently in a stalemate. Now, as far as the expansion of NATO is concerned, Putin's invasion has succeeded in getting Finland into NATO. So the idea that NATO would have a long border with Russia has now been realized by Putin. And now Sweden is going to join NATO. So you have a situation where Putin's invasion has actually backfired on him in that NATO has expanded. And if as and when the war ends, or if Ukraine is threatened, if Kyiv itself is threatened, then you may actually have NATO entering the war. You've heard Macron saying that. Scholz at the moment is hesitant. Of course, there is the American angle because the Republicans have held up the American aid. And if Trump comes, then we don't know what's going to happen. That would be a disaster for Ukraine. But the European powers are stepping in. And it will not certainly be easy for Putin to make rapid progress in threatening the rest of Ukraine. He's so far got the eastern part, and he has to be content with that. That is the only way forward in case you want to have peace in the region.
Yeah.
But if he threatens Ukraine's existence, then I'm afraid he will realize his dream of having a World War III.
Yeah. Mr. Goncharenko, what is the ground situation in places like Avdiivka? Bakhmut, we know, was lost to the Russians some time back. Even in further south in Robotny, the situation has been moving back and forth. Is there a real worry that in Ukraine that the Russian ground forces are now making territorial gains, which they hadn't previously been able to do? Is that your worry now?
Definitely, we are worried about this and concerned. Definitely, you're right that Russian forces, they have some gains. But again, if to take the general picture, if to take what had happened 2 years ago when a full-scale invasion started, we liberated half of what Russia took at the beginning of the invasion. Now the dynamics is not in our side, but it's really not in Russian side too. It really looks more like a stalemate. Speaking about on whom the time works, first of all, the level of Ukrainian and Russian losses is incomparable. Russian losses are much, much higher according to all estimation, including independent by the foreign different think tanks. And the second thing Russian economy, don't forget this, Russian economy is just $1.5 trillion, and the economy of Ukrainian allies is $50 trillion. So Russian economy is very, very small in comparison with the economy of the countries which support Ukraine. And it's not only the West. We also have supporters from other parts of the world, too. So I think that in long-term perspective, Russia is doomed. And what Putin did to Russia, I think this will be the end of this. By the way, the last colonial empire in Europe, they will disappear from the map of the world. Like before, Russian Empire disappeared, then Soviet Union disappeared. Now it's time for Russian Federation to disappear. But when it will happen, how many years will it take? Or it can happen tomorrow, like we saw last year when it was a mutiny of Prigozhin and Wagner Group in Moscow. Oh, it will take 10 years more of this rotting under Putin. It's hard for me to say, but it will definitely happen. I don't think that time works on Putin, and I don't think that he even believes in this. Yes, he tries to show some kind of confidence, but in reality, once again, what is his big gain during these 2 years of war and big part of Russian economy sacrificed and hundreds of thousands of Russian people sacrificed?
Right.
What are the gains which he received?
All right, well, we'll wrap that up over here. Thank you all very much for being with us. At more than 2 years into the war, no signs of an end, and the rhetoric becoming even more frightening, with the Russian president talking about World War III as well.